Good morning. No place I'd rather be than here in his love, but here in his house, sharing and ministering with each one of you. Father God, we just thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for your presence with us. We thank you that your presence by your Holy Spirit brings us peace. And Father God, I thank you that this morning the platform has been prepared as we have worshipped, as we have come around the communion table, Lord, that you are preparing our hearts to receive your word, Lord, not my word, but your word. And I pray that your word would sink into the hearts of each one, for you know each one of us and exactly what we need, Lord. So I ask that your word would minister just to that. And Father, that let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord my God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be here. And already I trust you feel very welcomed, as I do. And this morning, God has been laying on my heart a word to really bring, a word that is so often today in our modern society misused. And I want to start by mentioning that in America, an art gallery, there's a famous painting of a woman with her eyes bandaged so that she cannot see. And she sits with a harp that has all the strings broken but one. But on that one string she plays a beautiful melody. And the title of the painting is Hope. And that's what I want to speak about this morning, is hope. Hope is a very misused word. But you see, this painting depicts that when everything is gone but one thing, there is still hope. There is always hope. And so with that hope, this woman plays a beautiful melody, because the melody is not in the string, but the melody of hope is in her heart. And God calls us today by the power of his Spirit to have that same hope. You know, we live in a world that misuses hope. We hear, and I've been hearing a lot of it now as the finals of football are coming up. We hear people saying, I hope my team wins. Or just recently with the government, I hope this one gets in or that one. Or I hope I pass my exams. Or I hope I get a good medical test. Or I hope a good medical result. Or I hope the girl says yes when I ask her to marry me. I hope I pass my exams. And so that's a wrong use of the word hope, because hope is strongly associated with faith and trust in the Word of God. And man's ideas of hope differ greatly from what the Word of God teaches us about hope. It isn't waiting to see what happens that's hope. It's having a sure foundation of the hope that God has promised us. And we know that hope cannot be seen, but it can be experienced, or it is experienced. And we need to have a confident expectation in this hope. The word hope is mentioned 129 times in the Bible in 121 verses. And it's not about just a wild hoping that something might happen. It's a hope that is like faith, a faith that cannot be moved by circumstances. And it's not a hope that is focused on what the eyes can see, but what the heart experiences. Romans 8:24, 25 and 31, I'm going to read that now. Romans 8, verses 24 and 25 and verse 31, Paul is saying, and he tells the believer, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Do you believe this morning that God is for you? Then you have a living hope. And you know, God is calling us today, I believe, in the times that we live, to be very mindful about the words that come out of our mouth, about the things we think on, about the things we focus on. He's calling us not to use this word glibly, this word of hope, because it's a precious word. And as I said, it is very, very closely linked with faith and trust. And even the beautiful word that Elder Gadgen brought this morning in communion, we're speaking about trust and about hope. And then we know that our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself and allowed himself to be put to a cruel death, because the Father's will was that he would be broken for us, for the hope that was set before him. And we are that hope. And he is that living hope that has caused us to be raised with him in this resurrected power. Do you believe that this morning? And if you do, then you need to stand in strength and power by the Holy Spirit to hold on to this faith. In 1 Peter 1 to 5 it says, and this is a key verse this morning, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us a new birth into a living hope." It's a living hope. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and not an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade." It's into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. "This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." It is a living hope. And Peter brings out three characteristics. The Lord implants a living hope in each believer. What is a living hope? Peter discusses three aspects of this. It's a sure hope in verse 3. It's an eternal hope in verse 4. And an enduring hope in verse 5. Nothing can disappoint us in this life when the living hope of meeting with Christ brightly burns in our hearts. It's imperishable. It's immortality. It's undefiled. It's purity. It's unfailing. It is never impaired by time. Is that precious? And this is the living hope that the Lord has sealed you with if you have known Jesus as your Saviour. Peter says that God has begotten us again unto a living hope. What is a lively or a living hope that Peter mentions in this verse for us? It's a living hope that lives daily, that we stand upon. It's something that we just don't hope that happens. It's something that we know has happened. And that as we stand in that living hope, then we can take hold of every word that is written in this book. Every promise in this book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. Every promise of his love divine, every promise in this book is mine. And so you know that as we've walked through our journey as Christians, God has laid many things in our hearts. He's put desires in our hearts. He's shown us visions. He's shown us things. And without this living hope, we cannot attain to those things. But as we hold on to the precious word of God, and where the word says in Ephesians, and it's one of my favourites and I mention it every time I speak, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to his mighty power at work within us," then we know we have that hope. That hope that he is able to do those things. That hope that he has renewed us and he has fit us, as we heard this morning, before we were born, to walk in that living hope and to take hold of everything that living hope would bring us. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19 says, Hebrews 6, 18 and 19, "God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain." We have entered through the veil and we have this anchor that holds the soul, this living hope that I can do all that God has called me to do. God speaks differently to each one of us, and he speaks to us not by words as we speak, but by his Spirit into our spirits. And he feeds us and he tells us things and he speaks sweet, beautiful words to us about what he has created us to be, who he's created us to be, what he's created us to do. God has given each one of us a purpose, and it's only as we hold on to this hope and we trust this hope and know that we have entered through the veil, that we have an anchor that we can hold, that we will fulfill. Hope is that anchor. It is based on God's own character. God does not lie, but he's spoken truth to us. I know that each one of you have hidden in your heart promises that God has given you. Are you holding on to those this morning? Or with the age of time, have those things faded? You know, quite often we get tired and we get tempted by the enemy or circumstances of life come in. We all face difficulties. Fear comes in. We may receive a negative report at school, or we might receive a negative medical report, or we have a loved one that dies. And very quickly our hope fades, because we get into the things of the flesh and we start to think with the mind rather than allow the spirit to stir. Because those things can happen, but they will never change this living hope that God has imparted into your heart. They will never change the promises that he has given you. They will never change the focus of his will in your life. They will never change your purpose. And so it's as we hold on to this hope and say, all right, that might have been said, but I look forward with this living hope. I know that I will be resurrected with Christ. I know that I have eternal life, but I know that God has given me life in abundance here on this earth to walk and to fulfill his purposes. And that's our living hope. That's a trust. That's what we hope in. That's what we hope in. The living hope of the Christian is based on something that can never be yanked away from you. It can never be torn away from you. It can never be spoken away from you. But your trust and your faith is to be stayed on the living word of God and the hope of his promise to you. Some people come to God and they cry out and they say, oh, Lord, I've never done much wrong in my life. I've lived a pretty good life. Why are these things happening to me? Why can't you do something about this? And so they're all about me, me. They're all about focusing on negative things rather than turning to the word and seeing that if we trust in the Lord with all our heart and rely not on our own insight, that he will direct our path. That no matter what happens, as we heard in communion, things may go different to the way we see, but start to allow the Spirit of God to show you what God is doing, which path he's taking on. Sometimes God puts obstructions in our life to turn us around, because we are so much of the flesh and we will go after the desires of the flesh and we'll be led by the things that make our emotion feel good. And God's saying, no, no. Don't go that way. Go the way that I've planned. You will find that step easy. You will find that way, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. You'll find it easy if you yoke yourself with me and walk the path that I've called you. Have you ever cried out to God in desperate need? And you see, if you keep crying out and telling God how difficult it is, you won't hear him. It's fair enough to cry out, but then stop and listen. And allow his voice to speak quietly to you and tell you to be still and know that he is God. To tell you that he has everything in his hands, that he knows the way you take and he knows where it is that he's leading you. This is the blessed eternal hope that we have, that Jesus Christ died and gave his life for. If you don't know the Lord this morning, I pray that you don't leave here without coming and talking to someone. Because without knowing him in a personal way, you will not understand this living hope. You can't be someone from another religion and have this living hope. It is only those who are born again. I'm the way, the truth and the life, says the Lord. It's only through Jesus that we can know this living hope. Our hope and our salvation is accomplished because of all that Jesus has done for us. And he died not just so that we would know that we're going to glory, but he died so that we can live glory on this earth, that we can live in victory, that we can live in authority, that we can know what it means to walk above the circumstances and not be crushed by them. In our Woman to Woman on a Thursday, we're going through the life of David. If you've never done that, do it. It's an incredible story of a man who went through all kinds of difficult situations. A man who'd been called by God. The Word of God says he was a man after God's own heart. And yet quite often, as we've gone through, it's been surprising to some and even to me at how far David fell from those things. But there was always a purpose in his heart, that God had called him, that he loved the Lord, and he always came back on track because the Spirit kept drawing him back, because he had been anointed by the Spirit. And it's only as we have know and have the knowledge of the Holy Spirit that God will draw us back, when it is that we find that we become disheartened, or we find that we're feeling defeated, or we feel that we can't achieve what God has called us to achieve. I'm sure, like me, you don't want to get to the end of your life. I don't want to get to the end of my life and look back and think of and allow and God show me all the things that I could have achieved that I haven't, because I let go of this hope and this trust. I want to achieve everything that God has called me to achieve. I want to drink every drop of that cup. And all right, the body cries out sometimes, but you see, we live in our body, but it doesn't determine our steps. Our spirit determines our steps. Hope continues through bad times. As I said before, we get tempted by the flesh, we get tempted by the enemy, but we need to break through those things, and God has given us through his Spirit the ability to break through, to take the higher ground. We've been singing these beautiful choruses about how God loves us, and it's not to us but to your name. We lift up your praise regardless of how we feel. It's not about how we feel. And as we start to praise, we start to feel better, because the Spirit starts to stir life within us, a living hope that cannot be conquered. And Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us freely." And so God's hope does not put us to shame. God's hope does not disappoint us. God's hope is there to fulfill all his purposes within our life. You might be going through difficult times, and I'm sure you are. We all face difficult times. We all face circumstances that we don't want to come upon us. Maybe you've got a bill that you don't know how you're going to pay. Maybe you're, as I said, facing some medical situation. Don't become caught up in that, but seek the Lord. Now, God's not a God who is just suddenly going to do some magical thing, but God is a God of wisdom and grace. And he says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so God will show you how to walk through that situation. Amen. He will show you the way around that situation. He will show you what to do in that circumstance. Quite often we don't experience this hope because we don't live in it. We don't bring God into our lives. As our brother brought the word this morning, that every morning and evening he cries out to God that word, and he stands in the hope and the promise that God will never fail him nor forsake him. That as others, even our own family members, will forsake us, God will never forsake us, because he's given everything for you. He's given life for you so that you might live in this glorious hope, in this victorious hope, in this overcoming power as his Spirit leads you. You know, as we read the story of the Israelites, they were living in terrible bondage, but they didn't cry out with hope every day that it would change tomorrow, but they lived in the confident hope that God had promised a Messiah, and they waited for the deliverer. You know, God has given us the hope, and we've already seen our deliverer. Jesus Christ has come and given his life, and all we have to do is accept him and walk in that living hope. Walk in the way that he's called us to walk. If our future is not secured and satisfied by God, then we're going to be excessively anxious. People get very anxious because their hope is not secured in the promises of the Word of God. Now, there's nothing wrong, and there are times and circumstances that anxiety can come and overtake us, but we work that through the power of His Spirit at work within us. We end up thinking about ourselves too much and our own future, our problems, and the potential that would try and keep us from living this living hope. In other words, hope is the birthplace of Christian self-sacrificing love. That's because we just need to let God take hold of every part of our life and see His victory and see His purpose that He's laid out. And God has a purpose for each one of us, young and old. No matter where you are today, God has a purpose. Seek that purpose. Seek that purpose and then hold on to it with a living hope. God is not asking us to have some vague hope like, as I said, people of the world do, that we hope this or that. We have a living hope, a secure hope that is in His Word that we can take hold. And if God gives you a vision, if God gives you a word, if God speaks into your heart, the Word of God says that God will give you the desires of your heart as your desire is stayed on Him. That as He is our greatest desire, as our hope is fixed on Him, then He will give us the desires of our heart because they're according to His will. And that's our hope, isn't it? That we hope in that, that each one of us have a different call, but we will fulfill that call if our hope is in Him. If we don't have the hope that Christ is for us, that and who can be against us, then we'll be engaged in self-preservation and self-enhancement. But if we feel ourselves caught up in this blessed, this pure hope that it speaks about in Peter, this hope that is given to us by the Lord, we have a future, and our future is secure as we hold within the veil. Nothing but nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, because He is able to do whatever He has promised. Then God's glory will shine clearly, because that's how it becomes visible. When God satisfies us so deeply that we're free to love other people, and it's only as we have this living hope, as we live in this living hope, as we believe the Word of God, then our greatest purpose on this earth is to be here for others. It's to glorify God, yes, but we glorify God by fulfilling His will, and that is bearing witness of His life, bearing testimony by the very evidence of our life, bearing testimony by this hope that it just permeates our very being. And this hope draws people to Christ. If we don't have this hope, what have we to give others? We are an empty and a clanging cymbal. But Paul says this love is beyond all of those things. And the Word of God says at the end of that scripture, there's faith, hope and love, but the greatest of these is love, because Jesus is that love. And then in that love, we will have that faith and that hope to accomplish all that He set us to do. And there's a world out there that is dying. There's a world out there that is clamouring. And we see every day, sadly, on our television, the violence that's coming into our world, the terrible things that are happening. People are not afraid anymore of the law. They don't respect the law. It's like thumbs up. It's like they don't respect the police. They don't respect the authorities. We see a world that is so confused that children are being brought up without any identification until they're old enough to decide for themselves. We live in a world that is very confused. We live in a world that is trying to fix the problem by bringing in another problem, finding another thing to try and counteract the last thing, rather than getting back and dealing with the cause, which is sin, which is a broken heart, which is a choosing to be led off into other things rather than what the Word of God tells us. And so we so need to be living in this living hope, to be portraying this living hope, to be allowing this hope to permeate our being, so that when we come to somebody, it's not even the words that we say, but it's something about us, it's something about our being that shows them that we have a living hope, a hope that is alive today, a hope that is secure, steadfast and sure. Amazing, amazing grace, amazing love. How beautiful it is, and that it lives in our very being. That it's not just words, but these things come out of our very being. And we then impart these things and we bring hope to others. Hope to people that are feeling hopeless and lost and downcast and weary. When God satisfies us so deeply, then we are free to love other people. And then it becomes manifest in our lives. And that's where I want to live. Is that where you want to live? Not in a hope that just believes that if I hope it'll happen. Rather, we need to say, I trust you get that job. I trust that you get a good medical report, because my trust and my hope is in the one who covers you. My trust and my hope is the one who is leading you and guiding you, the one who has died to give you life. And my trust is that that life will live within you to overcome all circumstances, because that's why Jesus died. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Saviour and of Christ Jesus our hope. Paul had that living hope in all circumstances, and Paul faced many. It didn't matter what he faced, he had that living hope that if Christ before me, who can be against me? If Christ before me, who can be against me? Who spared not his own son, but gave him up that we might know eternal life here and now. You see, we know that we have an eternity in the future. But as my husband often quotes, and he loves the Psalms and speaks about the 23rd Psalm, and at the end of it, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so we know that we have that eternal glory, that place, but we are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. So surely, if we live in this hope, goodness and mercy will be with me all the days of my life. Is that your assurance today? Is that your hope? Or are you still in this vein, I hope this happens, I hope that happens? Ephesians 1, 18 to 20, and this is one of my favourite scriptures. Ephesians 1, 18 to 20. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The hope to which he has called you. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. This great power for us who believe. The power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And that same power has been given to you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Is that your hope? Is that your testimony? Is that your knowledge? Do you really believe that today? Or are you still, like so many, hoping this will happen? It's already happened. It's already happened. It's already been given to you. Do you believe that you're seated in heavenly places with Christ? Do you believe the word of God, or do you just go through it and pick out some verses that make you feel better for the moment? We need to read the word of God systematically. We need to read it and ask the Holy Spirit to bring revelation to our hearts so that we can see the wisdom of God, where he says, no, 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 don't go there, go there. And hear his voice saying, this is the way I've called you to walk. Walk in it. And as you walk, you will learn, you will grow. And your hope will grow, your trust will grow, your faith will grow. And you will become the trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Do you want to be that strong oak? You know that picture I spoke about at the beginning? To me, that's a beautiful picture of this lady whose eyes were bound and every string on the harp was broken by one. You might only have one thing, but that one thing will play beautiful music. God never ever allows us to be stripped bare. God is all about teaching. If you take something away, it's to replace it with something better. And so it's really saying, Lord, what have you put in my hand? Whatever it is, I will use for your glory. It's like the talents, isn't it? We don't all have lots. We may only have one, but we can play that beautifully. We can use that beautifully. It's about what we do with what we've been given. And God has given each one of us so much. But above all, he's given us faith, hope and love. He's given us hope. He's given us hope to believe in a new day. He's given us hope to believe in a new future. When God puts a dream or a promise on the inside of you, he deposits within you everything you need to accomplish it. God doesn't give you a promise and leave you to try and find out how you're going to work it out. He gives you everything you need to accomplish it. He wouldn't give you the desire and a hope to do something without giving you the ability to fulfill it. Do you believe that this morning? If we really believe it, we need to be turning this community upside down. We need to be allowing his spirit to allow us to infiltrate broken people's lives, people in our families, whoever, to be standing in this truth and to be permeating this hope. In fact, the scripture tells us that God gives us the desires of our heart. In other words, he puts his desires inside of us and then he works it to bring it to pass. Oftentimes people set out to accomplish their dreams and their hopes, but they face a setback and a disappointment and they feel like their time has passed, that hope has died. Now, I've had times in my life where that has happened. Something's come and I've thought, Lord, how did that happen? That's not what I was believing for. Or I might have been believing for healing and it doesn't happen, but I still keep functioning. And so I've got to get back again to what his word tells me and not look at the way I think it's going to be accomplished, but allow him to show me how he's going to accomplish it. And you see, again, like that painting, it doesn't matter. Well, not that's the wrong word, but it's not so important that God doesn't bring the healing as I seek it, but that God allows me to live above the circumstance. That even if that thing doesn't function the way I want it to, it still functions because it's in God. But you see, we get set back because we're visual and we're too visual. We've got to be spirit-minded. And so these disappointment comes and hope dies. But know this, no matter where you've come from, no matter what's happened in your past, God wants to make you new. It's a new day. It's a new day and God is always doing something new, not new in him, but new to us. But we have to look for the new. We have to have our eyes open and focused on him and see this living hope. He wants to give you a fresh start. If you feel like you've missed opportunities in your life, if you feel like your time has come and passed and hope is gone, remember today is a new day. Behold, I do a new thing. It's a new day. It's a new and a living way. Walk in it. You are a new person. Today, when you woke up, it was the first day of the rest of your life. With new opportunities, new expectancies, new hope, new joy. You're a new person with a new hope and God has new opportunities in store for you. That beautiful chorus, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I dare not trust in the things of this world, even those nearest and dearest to me. But I wholly trust in Jesus' name, because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess him. The name of Jesus is powerful. He is a sweet, sweet Saviour, and he loves each one of you to the point of death. But he has risen in hope. Will you rise in that hope this morning? Will you stand in that hope? Will you believe in that hope and change your vocabulary? Not to use, I hope this, I hope that, but that you trust because you believe As I said before, this hope cannot be seen but is experienced. It is experienced in our very being. We have to have that confident expectation. Not I hope this, but we are expectant for the best because God is about to do a good thing in your life. So this morning, I pray that his Spirit has stirred hope within you, the hope of his calling. I will just read again 1 Peter, because that is the basis of it all. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into the inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation, that it is ready to be revealed in the last time. And you see, that is our hope. That is the promise of God to us. But we need to be living this inheritance today. The Spirit of God has been poured out that we might know what it means to live this inheritance today, to live this heaven on earth today, to live clothed in his righteousness, following his plan for our life and knowing what it means to live in victory. So, Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your word today. Father, I pray that your word would go forth, Father, that your Spirit would take your word. Each person here, young and old, Lord, have many things that they face, many, many things that they face, many things they dream, many things they desire. But, Lord God, you are over all, that you have put those desires, you have put those hopes within their heart. You have called them, Lord, to be trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that you might be glorified. Father, I pray that your Spirit might stir hearts this morning to glorify you with this hope that is unfailing, this hope that cannot be snuffed up, this hope that is life in you, and that each one, Lord, would hold on to this hope and not be as the world, caught up in the things of the flesh, but to be people of spirit, spirit power, overcoming power. And again, Lord, I pray also that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which you have been called, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exercised in Christ when he raised him from the dead. May we walk in that resurrection power and know that living hope in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.